Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Mrs. P, writer, storyteller, and champion of kids. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 282 of the podcast with Mrs. P of Mrs. P's Magic Story Time. Mrs. P's annual Be a Famous Writer contest is about to kick off, and this year's theme is one that makes my heart do backflips. Write about the library. Since many of you are teachers, librarians, or parents, I thought it might be nice to invite Mrs. P to share the details in person. Plus, she's a wonderful human being to know, and she's doing wonderful things to engage children in writing. And the school year is starting, and this is an especially good episode to share with teachers. As Mrs. P would say, creativity is something you have to exercise. Time for a workout, writers. Here's episode number 282 of the podcast with Mrs. P. Welcome to the podcast, Mrs. P. I'm so glad I have even more time to talk to you tonight.
Hello, I'm so glad to be here.
I say even more because I'm excited about the school year starting again because it means it's a chance for my students to get to see you and for some to meet you again. And you are someone that we really look forward to talking to.
Well, I feel the same way. You know, I just so enjoy doing all kinds of reading and writing and talking and singing. And of course, there's Poem in Your Pocket Day coming up.
Oh, yes. Never too soon. April doesn't ever come too soon. Yeah, I always think, yeah. Well, I love that you are such an incredible advocate for writing in a time when these children are so connected online. It's such a wonderful thing that they get to have people like you and librarians and teachers and everyone in their life, in their reading lives, in their lives in general, just lifting them up and championing their reading habits and writing habits. So thank you again for being a face of that advocacy and one that really you reach a lot of kids. And it's such a great thing to be able to bring folks like you into our libraries, albeit virtually or in person, to be able to have even more people championing reading and writing for our children.
Well, you know, it's always been such a funny thing to me that sometimes I'll travel around and people will say, oh, children aren't that good of writers or anything. And I'm like, what? This can't be the truth, because I know it's not. You know, I think anybody can be a good writer, and I have a secret that I like to tell people. So look around, Matthew, make sure no one's listening, because I'm going to tell you the secret to being a good writer. Okay? Looking around. If you can tell a story, you can write a story. And I think we're all born as natural storytellers. So if you could tell a story, you could write a story. And the great thing about getting together with the students is that I can prove that. I can prove that at the drop of a hat. Yes. In any classroom or on any internet connection, because, well, there's nothing more fun than being a storyteller. And then once you've told the story, you just write it down and it's perfect.
Yes. And I've seen that magic happen. The magic of Skyping with you. I think last time we Skyped for perhaps it was Dot Day or Poem in Your Pocket Day, there were several of us classes connecting at one time, and to know that therefore there were hundreds of children all going through this experience simultaneously, all writing, all being storytellers, having that affirmed that they can tell a story, but then also that they can put pen to paper and just write. And that power that we can hang up from Skype and the children just want to grab for the supplies to write is such an amazing thing to behold.
I agree. I think one of the most fun times that I ever had was after Skyping with the classroom. The following week, they contacted me again and they said, "We want to entertain you. We want to tell you a story. You don't have to do anything." And I thought, well, all right. And so I came to the classroom and they had written a wonderful story. And then they'd all drawn pictures that they held up and they entertained me. And to see that kind of creativity come just from something that I'd said or from listening to their teacher talk about writing was amazing. I had a little tear in my eye, to tell you the truth. I was like, yes, this is so lovely. And that's the thing. I think that I know that I talk about this a lot, but I don't think that adults or children really understand that your creativity is something you have to exercise just like your muscles. And I know you've heard me say this. So I have lots of games that I play to keep my imagination in tip-top form so that I always have an idea. Because that's the other thing that happens sometimes is children will say, well, I don't know, it's easy for you, but I don't have an idea. And I'm like, well, you know, let's see. There's an idea everywhere that you look. And that's why, you know, I think that one of the most fun things that we do here at Mrs. P is we have our annual Be a Famous Writer contest.
Yes.
And this year it's our 8th annual Be a Famous Writer contest. And every year we pick a subject so that the kids can just have that in their minds and then just write. And this year, one of my personal favorite ever topics, library.
Happens to be a personal favorite of mine as well.
I thought you just might say that.
I love this.
Did you spend a lot of time in the library when you were a little person?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing. I have vivid memories that I may have even shared with other guests on this podcast of my mom taking my brother and I to the library. My sister wouldn't have quite been born for this library yet, but I remember this beautiful, huge marble building, and we walked down these wooden stairs that creaked all the way down to the basement where it was a children's library, all in this special place in this main library that was just a building built from architecture that I still have ingrained in my mind. It's left that much of an impression. So libraries have just been a part of my DNA from as long as I can remember.
I know. It's just, for me as well, I think my mother used to take me to the library and just sort of let go of my hand and leave me alone in the children's section, of course, at a time when you could do that. And I would just gather as many books as I could find. And then we would always walk there because my mother was big on exercise. And then on the way home, we would walk back, both of us, with our arms full of books, just full of books. And
yes,
people would honk and wave and we'd just wander down the street. And then I always remember in my home, my mother had a book always on the back of the sofa that she was reading with a big old bookmark in it. And so I consider that to be one of the greatest gifts that she gave me, was that the gift of writing. And I credit everything, that any success that I've had, I credit to the fact that I'm a reader. I think that even though I'm getting to be an older woman, but you wouldn't know that if you saw me, because of course I have the shining face of youth at all times. But I think, thank you. I think that we always say that it's a lifelong curiosity, a lifelong sense of curiosity that keeps you young. And what better way to satisfy that curiosity than going to a book?
Yes. Now, interesting to hear about your mother, because this is something that I love. The fact that you have these vivid memories of you and your mother walking to the library, carrying these books, being read to, and also witnessing your mother as a reader is something that I feel like is powerful. How then, what memories do you have of your mother then fostering writing with you as well? I assume because you had this great relationship built on stories that you heard a lot of stories read and had that, but where did the writing part come in for you?
I think the writing part was something that I just created on my own, because I don't remember my mother writing anything except for possibly a grocery list.
Yes, yes.
She loved to read, but writing wasn't something that people did. You know, even to this day, I find that if people cannot write. They think that if you have the ability to write, it's like a magic skill or something. But the truth is, like I said, I'll just go back to that thing where, you know, if you can tell a story, you can write a story. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil, or if you're even lucky enough to have a computer where you could just back up if you make a mistake. But I like to communicate. And that's one of the things that I say, that it's a lifelong skill that you're always working on, and that when you're a child, your need to communicate is very simple. You know, must have popsicle, you know, must go to bed now. But as you grow older, you have all these things going on in your brain, your feelings and thoughts and ideas, and you want to be able to share them. And besides speaking, being able to write them down clearly so that someone can understand you, that's a skill. And it's a skill that it's actually so easy, but I think that a lot of people are very frightened of that.
I would agree. I would almost argue that reading is the complex skill that we take for granted because we're just doing it all the time. But writing, I think I don't know that even adults see that all of the writing we already do with making lists and sending emails and describing things out on paper when we're, you know, giving directions to someone or something like that. I don't know that people realize that that is honing a writing skill, that if we can then, as you're saying, take the stories that we're already accustomed to telling everyone and write them down, that we would sort of be able to demystify some of that writing stigma, perhaps.
I think that could be true. You know, I live on a house on an island off the coast of Wisconsin, and I always have tons and tons of house guests and lots of people living here who help me. And we have a comedy night. And, you know, the first rule of comedy is be specific. Like if I said to you, there's a tree right outside my door, you'll go, okie dokie. But if I say to you, there's a beautiful birch tree with green leaves, the color of freshly mown grass, and they kind of twinkle and stir in the wind, you go, oh, and you could see that. Yes. So all forms of creativity are in mind when you think of writing. There's, you're painting with your words and you're describing something. It's true in comedy. It's true in white writing. It's certainly true if you were giving someone directions. I know that here at my house, we try to be as clear when we say something as we can. And that's about being specific. So go to the corner, take a left at the giant oak tree with the initials BL carved into it. Go for two blocks. you know, the more specific and clear you can be, the more people will understand you. And I have lots of friends that get together with me, like the Tooth Fairy and Jack Frost, and of course, the Cat in the Hat. And we get together and we have tea and we'll have blueberry crumpets that we make right here. And then we'll have a little writing workshop. Now, this is a funny thing about Jack Frost. He'll write a piece. We like to set a timer. We call it sprint writing. We'll set a kitchen timer for 10 minutes and we'll pick a topic. And then we say, go. And we start the timer and then we all write for 10 minutes. And when the timer goes off, we take turns reading it to each other. And it's funny about Jack Frost because he's got so many thoughts in his head, but only half of them come out to the paper. When he reads us something, we go, well, where were you? Well, I was at the bowling alley. We go, well, you didn't say that. You just said the pins were falling down. We didn't know if you were sewing or what. Oh, and he had this great realization that he wasn't fully communicating, that half of what he wanted to say was still trapped in his brain.
Yeah.
Right? Writing. It's a funny thing.
It is, I always think in school settings, that time that you need to write to be able to develop, even just to build that habit by doing something like sprint writing every day to build the sort of the agility to build that muscle up. One of the things that always fascinates me when I talk to different authors and illustrators is the amount of time it takes to draft or even just to get the story out, and the notion that we have all these ideas, and sometimes part of the writing practice is to write it out so that you can sort of satisfy one part of your brain that has some of these ideas that are jumping up and down, distracting, so that you can get to that thing that you want to write. So just the writing process to me is fascinating. The more that you get to explore it with children, it's amazing.
Well, I agree. I think that the first rule to understand is that writing and editing are two completely different things.
Yes.
So you've got to write. You have to sit down and just write. And that's why the kitchen timer is a very good tool to use. Mm. And I have three of them right here. But, you know, I will set them for 10 minutes and then I write. And I don't stop. I don't think. I don't worry about punctuation or spelling. I just write because I'm trying to get some information from my head onto the paper. Then I can go back anytime I want to and just edit, which is so different from writing. And I think that it's that feeling, that need of being perfect, that stops people from writing.
Yes,
oh,
I agree.
Don't know punctuation. Oh, I don't think I could spell, you know, anti-establishmentarianism. Well, that's what the dictionary's for, but, you know, you just write it. And I was really lucky to be at I wasn't lucky to be at it. I was lucky to be teaching a writing workshop. And we handed out some visual prompts, pictures, just vintage pictures. And we said, this is a picture of Olga. Write a story about Olga. And go. And, everyone was kind of, I don't know, you know. And just don't look up. Don't stop. Just go. And the stories were amazing. They were so fun. And of course, every single one is different. And there was no one that was better than the other. And I think that's a problem. That's something that I always hope that children can understand, that it's not about competing with another person. It's simply about doing the best you can. And that's why one of the fun things about our 8th annual and all of our annual writing contests is that the teacher can have her class either each write a story this year, like about library, or they can all work together and collaborate and write one story and send that in together. So there's many ways, you know, sometimes I have to work in Hollywood, you know, and the thing about that is that you're not always just working alone. You have to learn to work with a partner or many partners. And so collaboration, communication, creativity, I call them the three C's. They're so important. And if you learn how to work with them when you're young, you'll have them for the rest of your life.
So the contest has been running now for 8 years, the Be a Famous Writer contest. Is that when you also founded your site, Mrs. P?
Well, we had the site first because we wanted to make sure, you know, so often with the internet, you've got children just wandering around on there trying to buy a motorcycle or something like that, you know, and parents are so busy also. I mean, I know how busy I am. I'm sure you're extremely busy. And we wanted to make sure that children would always have a place to go to where they could be read to, because that's such an important thing, I think, when you're young. So we started the site first, and we had the Magic Library, and we just loaded as many stories as we could, and that was a lot of fun. And then we said, oh, I think someone had said to us, oh, American children, they're just not that smart. They could never be good writers.
Ew.
And like, I know, that's what I said. Hello? And so we wanted to prove them wrong, and we have. And also, it's completely selfish on my part, because that moment when we announce who the winner of the contest is, that classroom, yeah, to see that joy and pride is something that you never forget. I've had it 8 times now.
Yeah.
And we have such fantastic sponsors of the annual Be a Famous Writer contest. It must always be said that way, you know, annual Be a Famous Writer contest. And we have these incredible sponsors, Mackin Educational Resources, Tales to Go, Capstone Publishing, Cantata Learning, and of course, Powell's Books. And when...
Oh my goodness, everyone epic. You just sponsoring this contest. Oh my goodness. I didn't realize that the spot, I always knew it as... I always saw it on the children's side, which was great to see everyone submitting, to know that that's all happening, but to know, to flip it and to know that these companies that are in, I mean, Mackin and Mackin Via are so pervasive in our libraries because of how hard they work to connect our children with all of those resources. Same with Capstone, and we don't have PALs out on my coast, but I know... I've heard all the way over here how stupendous that bookstore is for getting books into kids' hands.
It's large. It's one of the largest. And that's the great part. The classroom that wins is the winner of all kinds of books in all forms of, yes, and they're just huge, and they fill the classroom. And then what's really fun, I think, is that for their classroom and for their library, they also, the winning story has all of the illustrations done by Robin Kaplan, who's a professional illustrator from Portland, Oregon. You know, and they're put into a book, so they get to actually see the book, and then it's always in the library forever, so that even when they get really, really, really old, like 85 years old, they can come to the library and say, I helped write that story in that book. You know, it's so much fun. And also we have great judges. And this year we have Chris Graberstein. He's the author of the Limoncello books. Yes, yes. And of course, as you know, then they take place in this most ridiculously brilliant library ever.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then which is so fun that he's one of the judges.
Yes, Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library is outstanding, an exceptional book, one that begs for adventure alone there. I mean, imagine the children knowing who these judges are, knowing like, when are you ever going to get a chance to put your story in front of this guy? No, there's other judges. I can't wait for you to tell me other judges.
I'm just having... Well, there's me, of course. Oh. Me. And then the third judge is Shannon McClintock Miller. She is a teacher, librarian extraordinaire. This woman is brilliant.
I know Shannon Miller. I know. Actually, Shannon, I think, is who introduced me to you. I love
Miller. Most likely.
She's wonderful, yeah. What an incredible voice for libraries, that Shannon Miller.
I know. We love her. And so it's great. And so the contest opens September 1st. It closes November 15th. It's any classroom from kindergarten through fourth grade may enter, just one classroom, one story, I'm sorry, per classroom. And like I said, it can be a collaborative story, or the teachers can vote. The teacher can vote. Everyone in the class can vote on one story. And then all the real rules, because sometimes I'm talking very quickly, but everything's on my website, mrsp.com, all the rules. And I think that this is the moment where I should mention that the website is free. Yes, it's completely free. There's no ads. And like I said, your child can go there and you can feel safe about it as a teacher or as a parent, because they can't veer off and book a trip to Brazil or anything. It's just what it is. I think one of the really great things about our website is that we have a teacher page, and we have all kinds of ideas for them to follow up on stories that they might have had the class listen to that I've read to them. For example, I have a playlist about bullying, which is, as you know, something extremely sad and should not be allowed in the world. No bullying at all. And so we have Wanda's Wart, and then a really good story by a student who entered our writing contest in before, and it's called The Peanut Butter and Jelly Hot Dog, and it's a brilliant take on bullying. I love it.
Oh my word. I have to, on some small level, envy you for the opportunity to get to read all of these submissions that come in from all over the world, from all over. So let me ask some questions, hopefully anticipating what other people might be wondering for those teachers and librarians listening. So I know that your contest is for students that are in kindergarten through fourth grade. Can a school submit more than one story if they're from different classrooms?
Yes, of course. As many classrooms as want to enter the stories in that school, I say go for it.
And then I'll link to in the show notes the submission guidelines. But do you have just one winner, or are there sort of like a couple different people that are recognized?
We usually have a winner and a runner-up, and then a lot of special mentions.
That's what I thought.
Like the story that I was telling you about, you know, the peanut butter and jelly hot dog, that was a special mention story. And it was made all the more brilliant because I think the little girl that wrote it was about 8 years old. It was so brilliant.
Oh, man. The shout-out. The power of the shout out for any adult or child, I feel like, cannot be underestimated. It's just such a powerful thing. And even more so for those that are submitting, to know that it's not just that you submit to Mrs. P and then your story might get selected, but this is also a chance to celebrate within your school and within your classroom, because writing a story, especially writing a story collaboratively, is a really big deal to work together to be able to accomplish that.
I agree. And there's so many types of stories in the world, so many styles. So, I mean, for example, we have a playlist about Happily Ever Afters, which are about fairy tales. We have Rapunzel and the Princess and the Pea, which is a personal favorite of mine. And then, of course, we have Spooktacular Tales for Halloween. And so for someone who's writing, who's making an entry for our 8th annual Be a Famous Writer contest, it can be in any style. It can be a fairy tale, or it can be a scary story, just as long as you say the word library in there. It could be a winner. You just never know.
Write about the library, to emphasize, is not write about your library, or write a true story about the library in your, let me do my voice here, in your Be a Famous Writer contest. It is a chance to do, as you're saying, whatever take you want, however you feel inspired, and how exciting it might even be, because they've got time. They've got September 1st to November 15th just to submit. I know that there are schools already in session now, but to have that time to even try a couple different stories. If a class writes three or four, as a class, they write three or four different stories, and then they choose collaboratively. This is the one that we like the most, the one that we want to put forward. I think what a great way to explore storytelling from trying. Why don't we try writing in different genres? Let's try writing a mystery about our library or a science fiction story about the library. It's very exciting to me. I've been a fan for a while, but this is, it just always feels exciting, especially knowing that it's about the library this year.
I know. Me too. I just think it's a fantastic topic and obviously one that's close to both our hearts. I can't wait to read the stories.
Well, Mrs. P, you are doing fantastic things for libraries, for classrooms, for children, for writing, for readers. And I am really grateful that I had the chance tonight to get to talk to you. Thank you again for your time.
Oh, thank you for talking to me. Because, you know, I live on that small island off the coast of Wisconsin. We can rotate it so that we can have whatever season that we want. And so everyone has rotated the island so that it's winter and they're out there with the garden hose making an ice skating pond. So I'll be ice skating later. But I wanted to take some time to talk to you. So I'm glad it happened.
Well, I'm so glad you did. Oh, wait, before I let you go, I have one more question to ask you. But before that, I have a different question to ask you because I've always wondered and I've never asked you this. Mrs. Mm-hmm. P, what does the P in your name stand for?
Oh, well, that's an interesting story because it's really a multiple choice. It could be pleasing or perfect or pleasant and most certainly pretty.
Oh, I like all of them. Great. We'll leave it to multiple choice then. All right, then I am going to leave you in this conversation of ours with the final words, and we're going to leave them for your readers, for your listeners, for your writers. So I'll put it this way, as I do to all of my guests. I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning, or if not soon. What message, Mrs. P, would you like me to bring to them from you?
Well, I want you to remind them that reading is cool, and so are they. It's that simple.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Rich Wallace and Sandra Neal Wallace share Blood Brother, Jonathan Daniels and his sacrifice for civil rights. It's a conversation full of history and the weight of responsibility. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.